Wouldn't that be exciting? It's been a long journey. And hopefully with that, then we'll also, time permitting. Well, I'm not sure. What time is it? Okay. Well, time permitting, we might even finish the Lord's Prayer. Who knows? We'll see how it goes. So, they're just working on that to make sure it all works. So, why don't I read the scripture verse while we're doing that? Now, last week we talked about the sword of the Spirit and learned that it was the Rhema sword, the Rhema word, rather than the Logos word, meaning that rather than referring to the written word of God, it's referring to the spoken now word of God. And then it goes right from that verse 17 to verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. Aha. Let's read it together. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Well, there's at least three different explanations why this sentence carries on. Did you notice right after we talk about the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, this sentence keeps on going. Now, most commentators stop when they think about the armor of God right after the sword of the Spirit. However, and they do that because there is no Roman soldier armor that matches Paul's next explanation, next thought is prayer. And so some of them say, well, prayer is part of the sword of the Spirit. And so you can't use the word of God without prayer. That's one thought. Other people say, well, prayer is a separate weapon altogether. And even though the Apostle Paul doesn't illustrate it with one of the some body armor for the Roman soldiers, it's still a piece of armor, something like a secret weapon, a force field maybe. You know, that sort of thing. And maybe the third thought is, well, prayer is essential for all the armor of God. Well, I'm not sure what Paul had in mind. However, he did have in mind very strongly that prayer was highly important. So let's look at this. From this verse, verse 18, we learn five things about how prayer is important in spiritual warfare. So let's look at it. The first thing is it's perpetual prayer. Praying always, one translation says. Another translation says, pray with unceasing prayer. In other words, all the time. Now, Paul picks up this same thought again in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. He says, pray without ceasing. Now, does that mean we're supposed to be on our knees 24 hours a day? 7 days a week, just there praying? No, it doesn't. Now, on the other hand, there are many who claim a faith in God, but have a hard time finding time to pray. I mean, I wouldn't call their life prayerless, but as far as actually setting aside time to make God a priority, well, they just kind of wave at Him on the way. You know, I God. Good night, God. I see you tomorrow, God. Oh, there you are. You know, it's rather than, and Paul is saying, hold it. Prayer needs to be a priority in our lives. So we need to be developing a habit of prayer. If there's nothing else you hear this morning, just kind of lock this one in your mind. You and I need to be developing a habit of personal prayer. Well, praying always, unceasingly, perpetual prayer, it speaks of that we need to maintain an attitude of prayer. that God is always there and we're always connected. And besides that, we need to have a prevailing habit of being in the attitude of prayer. There needs to be some holy regularity to our habit of prayer. Not only should we have a habit of prayer, but we can pray about everything. There's nothing too big or too small that we can't pray. There's nothing too difficult that we can't pray about. It should be our goal to make prayer about everything important. Now, did you notice that it seems like everything in life fights against prayer? Our busy lives fight against prayer. Our body resists prayer. Our minds resist prayer. Satan resists prayer. But nevertheless, we must pray because it's a necessity in our lifeline to God. So the big question is, when do you pray? Remember a number of years ago, the participation lingo, don't just think about it, do it, do it, do it. Well, it's the same way in prayer. Most of us say, I pray. But when? Do we actually make time? Do we make God a priority? Thought crossed my mind yesterday, because I had a huge list of things to do that day, that there's always time for the first thing you do. So if you make prayer a priority, if you do it first, there's always time for it. If you leave it till you have time, then often you never find time for it, or rarely find time for it. Well, the second word that the apostle uses, he says, with all prayer, that's make prayer a priority, do it, and petition. Well, what's this petitionary prayer all about? Actually, the two words are often used somewhat simultaneously, somewhat interchangeably, and yet they actually mean or can mean two different things. So the first term, prayer, refers to general requests. And the second term, petition, speaks more of specific requests. In the same way, some scholars have suggested that the first word, prayer, refers to the good that we would desire. God, there are some things we need. So here's some good things I'd like to pray for. So that's the prayer. And the petition, some scholars feel that it leans more to some of the bad things I don't need, and I'd like to avoid. Some of the evils I'd like to avoid. Hurtful things, health issues. Now, God knows everything. And some people take that and think to themselves, well, since God knows everything, why do I even need to pray about things since He knows it? In fact, the Bible says, your Heavenly Father knows what you need even before you ask. So isn't it somewhat redundant then for me to have to tell Him what I need since He knows it anyway? And so they take the attitude, well, then I don't really need to pray because He already knows. And so they don't. They just kind of wait for God to do it. Well, God wants us to ask Him for things. In fact, He tells us to ask Him for things. Why? Because He just loves surprising us with the answers to our requests. Now, there's a second class of people who don't bring their prayer requests to God, or many of them, because they think they're far too insignificant. They wouldn't want to bother the Almighty God with one of their little requests. It just doesn't seem reasonable. And so they don't talk to Him much about that. They feel they can only go to God with big needs and big problems. And then when a big one comes, they finally say, well, God, okay, now this is way beyond me, God, way beyond me. And so I'm gonna need your help on this one. And so, four or six times a year, they call on God for something huge. But God wants us to come to Him regardless the size of our problem, whether it's a large request or a small request. In fact, he says, pray about everything. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Well, the third word for prayer that the apostle uses, that how he tells us how to pray, is with all prayer and petition, pray it all times in the Spirit. Wow, that's a good Pentecostal verse right there. Pray at all times in the Spirit. I wonder what the apostle is talking about. Well, in Jude chapter, there's only one chapter, 1 verse 20, it reads this way. But you, dear friends, build up your most holy faith and pray in the Spirit. Now, what do you think the Apostle Jude and Paul are talking about when they say, pray in the Spirit? Now, we do know this. The more we pray in the Spirit, the more is accomplished. But what is praying in the Spirit? Prayer needs expression beyond our mind, beyond our emotions. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26, it reads, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we don't even know how to pray as we ought. Now, actually, most of us would disagree with Paul. We know how to pray. And if God would just listen to us, the world's problems would be solved. Our family problems would be solved. The problems at work would be solved. I mean, we've looked at it long enough. We got the answers. And he's just not paying attention because we're telling him how to do it. Well, the Apostle Paul says, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But, he says, the Spirit himself does know how to pray and intercedes for us with groans too deep for words. What is he talking about? He's telling us that the Holy Spirit would like to pray through us. And actually, it would miss our intellect. With groans too deep for words. In other words, our intellect isn't picking up on what the Holy Spirit's saying. Our spirit might be praying well, but our intellect isn't grabbing it. Oftentimes, when the Holy Spirit prays for us, he'd pray things that we wouldn't pray. He might be praying, God, I am a stubborn fellow. Look after me, will ya? I mean, deal with me as severely as you need to take care of me. Now, I probably wouldn't pray that. But the Holy Spirit might. And that's how come he has to do it somewhat subversively in tongues. Well, does the Bible say praying in the Spirit is praying in tongues? Well, I don't think praying in the Spirit is always praying in tongues. But the Apostle Paul does put the two of them together on numerous occasions. Here's one in 1 Corinthians 14, 14 and 15, where he's talking about this whole thing. He says, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? Well, I'll tell you, he says, what I'll do. I will pray with my spirit. How's he going to do that? When he prays in a tongue. But I'll also pray with my mind. How's he going to do that? In his native language. Probably not English. Probably Greek or Aramaic. I will sing in my spirit, and I'll sing with my mind also. So he's saying, as a balanced believer, you could pray in your own native language, and you could also pray in your heavenly language. Are you catching this? So, and he calls it praying in the Spirit on this particular occasion. Well, so when the apostle writes in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, with all prayer and petition, so he's talking about all good, desirable things to pray for, but it's still general, and then all evil things that we want to avoid, but more specific prayers, and whether they're big or small, pray at all times in the Spirit. Wow. Did you know that it's The Apostle Paul considers it highly important that we include in our prayer life to pray in our spiritual language. Now, for some people, that feels very awkward. For some, they haven't exercised their spiritual language yet. The Apostle Paul is saying, listen, this is part of your spiritual warfare. This is part of your armor. You need to activate this thing because it's far more powerful than you ever imagined. In fact, this not only activates this thing, this is the secret weapon that is so powerful the enemy can't, it's over the top. So he's urging us to use our personal prayer language. Now, the fourth thing he tells us is to be persistent, to persevere in our prayer. So with all prayer and petition, pray all at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance. It's like Brian was telling us earlier. He didn't just pray once. He prayed again and again and again. There's a sense of just keep coming back, just persevering. So does God have a little tally sheet showing how many times a person has prayed before he answers? Does it say, oh, no, he's prayed a couple of times, but it doesn't add up to the magic number of how many times you have to pray for that problem. So, no answer today. And so then does he wait till just the right amount has come? Ding, 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 ding. Oh, wow, he just did it. That was over the top on that one. He's got to get it. No. Prayer has nothing to do with how many times you've had to pray before you get the answer. But we do know that persistent prayer is important. It's not whether we prayed one time or 100 times, but the Apostle Scripture encourages us just to keep on praying. Now, it's not that we need to badger God until he answers our prayer. But it is saying, I'm not giving up. I know God wants the best for me. And I know that prayer is powerful. So I'm just going to keep on praying. Now, each of us know people who just kept on praying and saw results. The Bible gives us illustrations of that as well. So you and I need to just keep on believing. Many people pray a few times and then get discouraged. They think, you know, I tried that. That didn't seem to work for me, so I'm just not going to waste my time on that anymore. And Paul says, no, be persistent in your prayer. Just keep on praying. Remember Daniel? Daniel prayed 3 times a day. Right? He actually took time out of his work, time out of his life, to specifically pray 3 times a day for 21 days. And his prayer seemed unanswered until the 21st day. Now, on the 21st day, the angel told Daniel, actually, your prayer was answered on the first day. The very first day you prayed that, your prayer was answered. But wicked forces hindered me from delivering your answer for 3 whole weeks. So some answers, some prayers receive their answers early. And it's not God's will that they come late, but there are other hindering forces that are keeping us from receiving God's answer to our prayers. I read of a lady who was on a nice vacation. And when she left the hotel and went home, as she got home, she realized her ring wasn't on her finger. And she had left it. She just knew she left it on the bedstand next to the bed. And so she phoned the hotel and spoke to the manager, says, you know, I left my diamond rings on the nightstand next to the bed, and I'm worried I'm going to lose them. And would you go up to the room right away and check on that? And so the manager went up to the room, and sure enough, right there on the nightstand, he saw her rings. And so he took her rings and put them in the safe. Now, meanwhile, she was on hold, waiting, wondering, would he find the rings? Had the maids come in and stolen them, you know, or some bad thing happened to her rings? And so she was on hold waiting. And the longer she waited, the more frustrated she got. And before the manager got back to her on the phone, after putting the rings in the safe, he went back to the phone and she had hung up. She didn't get to hear whether or not he had the rings safely put away. And sometimes you and I are just that way. God has heard our prayers. He's responded to our prayers. He put our prayers, the answers to our prayers in a safe place, and yet we hang up. We're not persistent in our prayers. I urge you, keep on praying. Keep on being persistent in your prayers. Well, the last thing the Apostle Paul tells us about prayer is to be purposeful about your prayers. With all prayers and petitions, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. What is he telling us? Well, he actually, make petition for all the saints. There's that word again, petition, that we heard earlier, which means specific prayer requests. Now, the Apostle Paul doesn't call us to pray for world peace. He doesn't actually even call us to pray for the starving millions of children. He calls us to pray for other Christians. Isn't that interesting? Now, there's lots of things that we can focus on, but the Apostle Paul says, this is what I want you to focus on. I want you to focus on your other brothers and sisters in the Lord. Not just yourself. You've already done all that. But now on this list of petitions, more specific prayers, I want you to remember other brothers and sisters in the Lord. And then he goes from that. He says, and would you include me on the list too? He says, in regards to me, now I'm still in prison, but what I really want is to be able to communicate Christ to those around me, those who come around. I want to be able to clearly and articulately and with the power of the Spirit share with them about the good news of Christ. Pray for me also, that whenever I speak, the words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the good news of Jesus Christ, for which I am an ambassador in chains. So he's still in prison. Pray that I may declare it, what? The gospel, fearlessly as I should. And so he says, while you're praying for all the other Christians, would you just put me on the list too? Would you just kind of remember me every time you pray, that God would enable me to speak boldly and articulately about the good news of Christ? Well, I read of a person who decided that they were going to pray for others, not just for themselves. They had noticed that their prayers had been fairly self-orientated. You know, God, I need this and I want that, and help me there and this, and it was all about me. And so she made up her mind that she wasn't going to pray today just about herself. She was going to pray for others. And so she went carefully through her list praying for others, and then she just couldn't help it at the end. She says, and give my mother a handsome and rich son-in-law. You know, we have a tendency somehow to just focus on us even when we're trying to focus on others. The apostle is saying, in your prayers, make sure you also focus on others. Well, God possibly has four answers to our prayers. The first, if the request is wrong, God actually has the liberty to say, no, I'm sorry. You might have perspective on that, but that's not my perspective. If our timing is wrong, God might say, you know, just slow down. It's coming. You're just a little speedy on that. No, we do that with our kids, don't we? They might want candy morning, evening, and night, and we may say no to it. You know, that may taste good, but it's not good for you. They may want their Christmas present early. We may say, just slow down. It's coming, but it's not Christmas today. Now, so if we're wrong, you know, there's something wrong about our attitude. Then God says, you know, you just need to grow up on that one. And when you do, then we'll think about that again. But if the request is right, if the timing is right, if you're right, God says, okay, we're a go. Let's do that. So we've looked at the five models or modes of spiritual prayer for warfare: perpetual prayer, petitional prayer, powerful prayer, perseverant prayer, and purposeful prayer. And now let's just zing back to the Lord's Prayer. As we're ending the Lord's Prayer, there's a little doxology on the end. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, there are some theologians who will say, you know, that wasn't really in the original manuscripts. I'm not sure how they know that or why they think that. Anyway, they're smart enough to know something that the rest of us don't know. It can be found in other places of Scripture, so it's still biblical, whatever. So I'm going to just include it because I think it should be included. For yours is the kingdom. Now see, what Jesus is telling us is, God, it's not our kingdom. It's your kingdom, and you're in control. And you're the supreme ruler, the ultimate authority of your kingdom. And we are your servants, but citizens of your kingdom. So, you know, the whole thing about prayer is we're giving it back to God. It's yours. Sometimes we take on the cares of the whole world, take on the cares of our family. We just take them all. And then with taking on the cares of it, we also give all the solutions to it. And this is what you need to do, God. And this is what you need to do. And here at the end of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus is focusing us back on whose kingdom is it and who is in control. Oh, God, okay. And it's your kingdom, God. And you're in control. For yours is the kingdom. Remember Daniel discovered God's kingdom will for Israel. That Israel was to be released from captivity. And yet, when Daniel learned that, after reading Jeremiah's prophecies, Daniel started praying into that. Instead of just saying, oh, well, that's God's will, it's going to happen someday, you know, because God said so. No, as soon as Daniel knew what God's will was, he started praying for God's will to happen. You and I can do the same thing. As we read God's word and understand what God's will is, then we can pray into that. God, it's your will that all should be saved. Well, then I pray for my neighbor. It's your will that he should be saved. You see how that works? Anyway, so Daniel prayed into knowing God's will. Remember Elijah. He did the same thing. He understood after this long drought that had happened, 3.5 years, that now it was God's timing for rain. That God would end the drought and rain would come. And yet, he still went to the top of Mount Carmel and started to pray. And prayed. And 7 times he sent his servant to say, do you see anything, a cloud of any kind? And finally, at the very end, the servant says, well, I see a cloud rising from the sea about the size of a man's hand. In other words, pretty small answer to your prayer. You know, I don't think we're going to get much rain out of that one. And yet, that's all Elijah needed. He got up from his prayer and rushed over to King Ahab and says, you better get back to the capital city right away because a mighty rainstorm is coming. Little cloud the size of a man's hand. But Elisha had been praying into it. Now, just clear sky. That's all was there. Clear sky. Hadn't rained for 3.5 years. He knew it was God's timing. He knew it was God's will. But he still knew he had to pray. So you and I, when we know what God's kingdom will is, then we can pray into that. So God, it's not ours, but it's yours. In the kingdom which we serve, in the power which we so desperately need, you are the God Almighty, the Omnipotent One. So, and now for glory. And the glory forever and ever. Amen. You know what? Sometimes you and I inadvertently sneak the glory. Well, I really prayed for that one, I tell you. I mean, that wouldn't have happened if I hadn't prayed so hard. Come on, give me a break. All your prayers didn't do diddly. It was God. So, yes, you must pray. But I don't care how hard we pray, we don't make it happen. God makes it happen. So we need to leave him with the glory. And, you know, anyway. You know, there's a lot of people in cults who pray very, very hard. They pray to the wrong God. And yet, yes. So just praying hard doesn't make it happen. God makes it happen. We should leave him with the glory. So God forbid that I should steal the glory. But we need the glory to give to Christ. So this is the happy step as we come to the end of the Lord's Prayer. It's the Amen. Let it be so. Lord, I affirm your desire and ability to handle every situation I'll face today. Amen. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that you've given us spiritual armor. And then you've taught us how to pray. We ask that you would help us to be men and women of prayer. In the name of Jesus, amen.